This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
He smiles at him, a lavacious grin.
No, Yoda, please don't! No!
Really did, I think.
No!
Luke sighs dramatically.
Oh!
The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge Hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday night fan fiction.
And in due time, how much I like that song. Time is a valuable thing. Watch the clock by as the pendulum swings.
I came back and I heard due time. Is it time to poo?
No, that would be poo time. Oh. This is dude time. Oh. Body spray.
Cranberries.
Anyways, this is Friday Night Fan Fiction. Hi, guys. Woo-hoo. We missed out on last week, but we're back and in no way, shape, or form under some sort of federal scrutiny.
Welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction, technically legal in all 53 states.
Yes, Puerto Rico and Canada.
And Puerto Rico Prime.
Yeah, my work, who I piss off by proclaiming that Puerto Rico is not a real place. And then imply that she's from the Philippines.
Oh.
Like, no. I straight up will go like, wait, Puerto Rico, that's not a real place. You're talking about the Philippines, right? Like, what the hell do they like in the Philippines? Fucking
capital punishment.
No, the food that they like in the Philippines.
Capital punishment?
No, it's like fucking, they're like egg rolls. I don't remember what they're called, though.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Spring rolls.
No, they're not spring rolls. They're like tiny. They're like Filipino taquitos.
Spring rolls.
What, spring rolls?
If I ever become a wrestler, I will be known as the Filipino taquito.
Despite you being very, very white.
Joining me as normal tonight is David and Logan, and our guests tonight are Sam and Roy. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
I'm a guest now. Shit.
Yeah, but it's okay. We still like you just as much.
Hey. Don't worry. I'll ride on people's coattails back up to the top again.
He's like, Choose Your Destiny from Mortal Kombat, and you deliberately pick the smallest tower.
It's because by the time you get to the end of it, after cheeseballing, the game got wise to you. It started kicking your ass.
Yeah,
like 40 hit combos, and then Shao Kahn's like... Bruh, 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 bruh.
Yeah, that guy was a bunch of shit. All right, well, let's not mince words. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes, or the Filipino spring rolls of the evening.
Oh, I thought you were about to have a bunch of like meat puns.
Filipino spring roll.
We are actually, this is a fan fiction that I wouldn't have thought that this could have been a category of fan fiction, but apparently Folger's
Coffee.
That's
because you don't have the imagination.
Okay, well, I guess... I think
he's calling you stupid.
Okay, well, or that I like coffee. And I do like coffee, just not Folgers. This is called...
But the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Oh, dude, one other thing? Mm-hmm. All right, so a long time ago, I had heard Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
I'm surprised he's still going, even though I didn't say yes to Do You Want to Know a Thing.
Like, I'd heard that song, but I was like trying to figure out what the words were because I was just like singing it to myself. And I was like, you gotta know when to fold them, know when to hold them. Folger's coffee is in your cup.
It certainly was a song.
Know when to grope them. Down with your scrotum.
Whoa. Now we've got a second verse.
All right.
It goes dark real quick.
It's like gambles for old novels.
It's dark and rich, just like Folger's coffee. Anyways, this is called Where the Heart Is by Alex T. Summary, after spending 5 years in West Africa, a young man returns home to the United States for the holidays. But sometimes home isn't a place so much as it is a person. So starting us off tonight will be Sam. Sam, please read at P2.
For some reason, I heard it say after spending 5 years in Wes Anderson.
I don't like his movies.
Anyway, chapter one, Friday, December 25th, 2009, Christmas Day. Chapter text. Luke stares out the window of his taxi as he watches the snow-covered lawns of his parents' suburban neighborhood. It's a surprisingly strange sight. After spending the last 5 years in West Africa, the very notion of a white Christmas seems more than a little alien. The cab
Despite the fact that he was completely Native American.
The cab stops in front of his parents' house. He pays the driver, making sure to give her a generous tip. It is Christmas, after all. Then grabs his backpack and gets out, making his way up his parents' walk. Before he can even ring the doorbell, a gorgeous woman dressed in a t-shirt and pajama... Yeah, that's spelled right. Pajama pants opens the door.
It's off to a good start.
Yep.
I must have the wrong house, Luke says. He's only half joking. He's seen photos and videos of Lexi while he's been away, knowing that she's no longer the teenager he remembers. But the transformation wrought by the last 5 years strikes him more forcefully than he had anticipated, now that she stands before him, a grown and beautiful woman.
Oh no, I'm actually
It's like she got struck by a bolt of lightning, and then she was a grown and beautiful woman.
I'm getting whiffs of Salacion Daycare here. Like, I'm not entirely sure, but this strikes me as like, I don't know, just the description of this person. Anyways, let's keep going.
Sister! Lexi identifies herself with a grin and pulls him into a hug. I miss you so much! He's missed her too, of course, more powerfully and painfully than he could ever say.
Oh, God.
I waited up all night for you, you know. She adds as they make their way into the kitchen. It's a long way up from West Africa, he reminds her. And once he's put down his pack, begins the ritual of making the morning coffee.
Well, Steve, it's going to take a lot to drag us away from this story.
Ah, bless. Anyway, it's exactly the way he remembers it. And he doesn't even have to think as he pulls out a new filter from the cabinet and the Folgers from inside the freezer. The muscle
is
still there, even after half a decade. Coffee, he says near reverently.
All right.
It was brewed.
Instituting a rule here. When you say coffee, you have to say it like coughing the Pokemon.
Okay. Coffee, he says near reverently. Anyway, he's sure there must be plenty of places in Paris where one can be served a magnificent cup of coffee. Charles de Gaulle. There we go. Airport simply isn't one of them, and he desperately needs caffeine. So he
That's
picks
a
up
lie.
Folgers.
Yeah, one thing, something. If you're settling for Folgers, then anything in an airport will do.
You know, like dust, beard hair, whatever.
Brought you something from far away, he tells Lexi.
Incurable disease.
She makes this embarrassed little giggle. Really? She asks as he pulls the gift wrap package out of his pack and hands it to her. She holds it in her hands for a few seconds, then pulls off the bow and presses it to his chest, the adhesive sticking to his shirt. What are you doing? He asks, laughing. You're my present this year. Ugh. She informs him solemnly.
Okay, I'm going to go now so I can get my thing over with. Yeah, you guys have fun later on, but I'm going to go now.
Trying to dodge the sex here?
I got next.
People are desperately wanting to go sooner. The moment lingers between them. Pregnant.
No.
What?
As in, the moment is pregnant, not she is pregnant.
Oh, no, it's a little bit of both.
And it's probably a good thing their parents enter the kitchen a second later, because he's not sure he would have been able to control himself if left alone with Lexi any longer. This was such a mistake, he thinks. He should have stayed in West Africa, never came back.
I feel like this story should have started about, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
Should have stayed.
Down in Africa.
He should have stayed.
But he's here, and he tries to ignore the lingering memory of the moment, which just passed between them as he greets his mother and father, is pulled into overpowering embraces by each of them. After the entire family is well and truly caffeinated, the four of them make their way into the living room and begin to open the presents which sit beneath the tree.
No, they all went into the living room and started jumping on the couch because they were super hyped up. Coffee, 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 coffee,
Christmas and coffee, Christmas and coffee.
Coffee porn photos are awesome. Look at the stuff in the chat.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I know.
No, it's so tasteful and well composed.
Tasteful or tasty? This
is clearly a dark roast.
Yeah. A standard Mr. Coffee.
His presents are both more numerous and more expensive than he remembers them being in previous Christmases.
We had 5 years to make up for, Dad says good-naturedly.
Luke also notices that the vast majority of his presents will be absolutely useless to him back in West Africa.
West Africa!
After an ungrateful piece of shit, Luke.
After all the presents beneath the tree have been opened, they retire back to the kitchen for more coffee and a light breakfast consisting mostly of coffee cake. I think the author's on a singular focus here, a one grind mind.
The best part of waking up.
Folgers in that cup.
There's a little light conversation, mostly
it's
about
Folgers around your cock.
Little light conversation, a little more coffee.
Coffee! Damn it, I missed my own rule. I'm going to take two drinks for that.
Two drinks
for that.
Water bottle vodka, you're the best.
That's gross.
All right. There's a little light conversation, a little more action. Most recent about mostly about the recent cold weather and Luke's flights. Fuck. How long are you here? Mom asks.
My flight back is on the 1st. Luke answers.
My flight is back.
Any plans for what you want to do while you're here? Asks Dad.
Fuck my little sister, probably.
Ooh, wait, no. What he wants to do is bless the rains.
You know what?
Bless the rains back in Africa.
No, he's in America. He can't bless the rains here.
He'll bless the rains when he goes back to Africa.
Not really, Luke answers. I thought I'd just spend time with you and Lex.
And Lex. And Lex.
And Lex.
And you. And Lex. And Clark.
And Lex. And Lois. Bless those rains.
New Year's Eve, me and a few of my friends from college are going to this fancy party in the city. Since it'll be our first New Year's after turning 21, we rented a limo and everything. Jane and her boyfriend just broke up a couple of weeks ago, though, so we have an extra ticket if you want to come.
Wait, that's a horrible paragraph. You can't. It doesn't say who's speaking.
I know you can infer it,
but it's still poorly done.
I'm assuming that it is her because it's the whole turning 21 thing.
Wait, it's Herbie Hancock?
Oh, no, their dad turned 21.
Wow. I'm not even going to venture into that territory. Sounds like a good idea. Can I go now?
Absolutely not. Bam,
bam. Sounds like a good idea, says Dad.
Just rains down in Africa.
You should go, without an end quote. Okay, agrees Luke. Sure. Then Lexi lets loose a rather audible fart. I mean, yawn.
Whoa. That's not blessing rain down in Africa, Steve.
No, it's blessed winds.
Steve, you cad.
Did you stay up all night?
Mom asks Lexi. Passing it off to Logan.
Why would you do that? You're grounded.
Need more coffee.
Never see
more
your
coffee.
Hot brother more again.
Coffee. Okay, I'll get naked.
Take off your clothes, please.
Yes, ma'am.
What the hell? What the hell?
I heard a distant voice telling me to get naked.
And bless the rains down in Africa.
Is that like a demonic fajita? A fahel?
What the hell?
Logan, please.
Lexi shrugs. By the time we got home from Mass, it was already almost 2, and we didn't know when we would when he would get in, so...
Wow, suddenly her voice got very masculine.
Yes, this is...
Oni-chan, put it in my butt.
My name is Lexi. Oh, yeah.
You should take a nap, Dad says. You too, he adds, looking at Luke. I know you couldn't have gotten much rest on all those planes. I'll help your mother, like...
Yeah, I'll help your mother like Christmas dinner, which is not a help at all.
I'll help your mother with Christmas dinner. Obediently, Luke and Lexi. I just got that her parents are very unoriginal with the naming scheme. Luke and Lexi make their way up the steps to the second floor where their bedrooms are located. Luke carrying his backpack. That sentence. Oh, no, sorry. That's a comma.
That is a comma.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell when I'm this far away from the screen. As soon as they've turned into the upstairs hall and are no longer visible to their parents, however, Lexi grabs him and pulls him close, bringing her lips to his with such ferocity, it's almost an attack.
Whoa, that came out of fucking nowhere.
Lexi uses sweet kiss.
Oh, Nietzsche, I love you. Will you please put it in my butt now? I haven't seen you here for 5 years and I want your dick.
I'm pretty sure everyone's singing a different song.
No, he was doing the bass line. All right, Logan, please.
By the time his conscious mind has processed what's happening, he's already opened his mouth and let her tongue enter.
Can't do that.
Yes, you may enter. It's like he's been holding his breath for the last 5 years, and her mouth, her kisses, are oxygen. She drags him into his bedroom, deftly kicking the door shut with her foot once they're both inside. The second it's shut, her hands are at his belt, unbuckling it. He slides his hands up under her shirt. She's not wearing a bra. Of course not.
Oh, God.
She's wearing pajamas. So
you can't wear a bra and pajamas?
No, that's like that's taboo.
I'm going to tell you right now that it's pretty uncommon for girls to wear bras and pajamas at the same time.
I know.
Yeah. There's a million-dollar idea for you. Brajamas.
Judy wears a bra sometimes with her pajamas, but that's because she has augmented...
A million-dollar idea. Brojamas. Pajamas for men.
Why I wear a bra is because... They're sensitive, and I don't like them moving all over the place.
There you go.
Well, that's why they also invented duct tape.
That's not why they invented duct tape. So
yeah, duct tape was invented for ducts. So, you know, just to let you know, Steve.
So his hands quickly touch the smooth skin of her bare... He runs his fingers against them, caressing, feeling, exploring. She unbuckled his jeans and is pushing them down. He kicks
the
off
tense
his
just changed there. It's now present tense.
Yes, I know.
I know, I'm remarking.
He kicks off his shoes and socks and shimmies to help his jeans fall down to his
shimmy
ankles.
Shimmy, Coco Pop.
He kicks his shoes down in Africa.
Stop. Then steps out of them. Through all this time, they've been kissing, breaking the lock between their lips for only moments at a time to take quick breaths.
They soon passed out from hyperventilation.
When he pulls her shirt up over her head, however, they have to break the kiss for slightly longer.
Oh, okay, that's how
that's
how
continuing to
work.
Try through the shirt as it gums up.
Bad, bad.
Oh god, it's
Lexi,
stuck.
Your mouth tastes like cotton.
As soon as it's off and thrown onto Lexi's bedroom floor, their lips are back together, as if there was some magnetic force drawing them to each other.
Her lips were made of iron.
Luke breaks the kiss again to pull off his own shirt. Oh, he's dressed just in his boxers now, while Lexi's in her pajama bottoms, naked from the waist up. She puts her hands to his shoulder and pushes him gently toward her bed. Oh, it's her bed. I thought they were in his bedroom.
Storyboarding is hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he takes the hint and walks backwards until he is right in front of it and lets her push him down on top of it. She lays down on top of him, her breasts pressed against his bare chest.
Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Her breasts pressed.
Against his bare chest.
Her breasts pressed against his bare chest.
And they exchange another kiss. Then another.
Then another.
Kiss Exchange is getting fucked up, guys. You gotta calm down on this.
Then they start spreading out, kissing each other's jaw, neck, shoulders.
What is attractive about kissing somebody's jaw?
Well, it depends on where you actually, like, if you want to kiss a girl, and I've done this from experience, because I've kissed a girl once.
their kisses are wild, frenetic, as they claim possess, threaten to consume each other with their mouths and their hands, desperate for touch.
You got the touch!
As if to reassure each other of the physical reality of their presence after so long apart. They continue this for at least 10 minutes, this passionate conquest of each other's bodies as they energetically grope and kiss. Luke can feel his heart about to burst out of his chest just...
David, did you give her the old gropey kiss?
I gave her the old gropey kiss to touch on the butt, and it was pretty good.
Luke can feel his heart about to burst out of his chest just from the athleticism of it.
They have pills for that.
He was actually having a heart attack.
Finally,
that's what that sounds like. I'm be real here.
When finally Lexi slips her hand into the waistband of his boxers and pushes them down.
It is meanwhile, Royster. Mom and Dad are all, what's going on upstairs?
God, those guys sleep loudly. With a fumbling motion, she reaches out, opens a drawer in the nightstand next to her bed, and pulls out a condom.
Oh.
Luke didn't expect to return to find her still a virgin. Hell, he's not even sure she was a virgin when he left. Still, he can't help but wonder how many times she's done this. With how many boys, how many men,
how many toys? Women,
how many toys, how many dogs,
how many
cats. How many showerheads, and feels an incredible, irrational, hypocritical resentment against them for defiling his sister.
There's something inherently wrong with that sentence.
Because that was his job, to defile her.
Nobody fucks my sister but me!
Ew, what?
I don't have a sister.
He has a brother, which makes
him... Can't prove anything!
She removes the condom from its wrapper, then slips it onto him. She pulls off her pajama pants and underpants and lowers herself onto him, taking him into her. After his penis passes the necessary customs inspections, it then is allowed to pass and leave freely. Their bodies thrust against each other with a forceful, hungry rhythm, so they stopped and had some sandwiches, and Luke steals himself to keep from coming before his sister.
Actually, they were just fucking to hungry like the wolf, that's all.
Good song. Oh, okay.
Good song.
Probably.
It's okay, we're not real siblings.
But they are.
She's tensing and relaxing at a quickening rhythm, and the almost pained expression on her face makes him think she's biting back moans or groans or even ecstatic shouts, lest they be heard by their parents below.
Oh, yeah.
Then she gives and relaxes. And he comes moments after her. Of course he does. They dispose of the condom in some unspoken manner, then press their naked bodies against each other, his wrapped around hers, as they gently waft off into unconsciousness. After all, they did come up here to take a nap. Luke wakes to the sound of his mother calling them for dinner, a dinner composed entirely of Folger's coffee. He gently nudges Lexi awake. She opens her eyes, blinks, then gets up, then blinks again, then steps over, then blinks. She continues blinking every couple of seconds.
Oh, it's just like the darkness or whatever. No, it's the Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark for Xbox, where you have to press X to blink.
Savings, imprisoning me. All that I see, absolute savings.
The groggy look on her face is gradually replaced by a more pensive one. Not immediately, gradually, over the course of about 2 months. As she processes her situation, she was really slow, he basically fucked her brains out. Remembers what they did before they fell asleep. She gets up, yawns and stretches,
farts.
And Luke watches with appreciation as Lexi, her naked body moves, her breasts particularly. Desire swells in his heart, another heart attack. But it is more a subtle longing, mixed with fraternal love and affection. Oh, okay, that's what fraternal love means.
No!
Got it. Yeah, that's a good thing to feel when you're watching your sister's naked body.
Yeah, after fucking her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Fraternal love and affection, then the hungry passion which consumed the two of them before they fell asleep.
And I'm hungry for my sis!
Lexi cracks her bedroom door open. Unfortunately, it was cracked on the wrong side, and the whole thing fell off its hinges. It was embarrassing for everyone.
I'll be right down, Mom!
She calls down.
Do me a favor and wake up your brother, question mark.
Their mother's voice replies.
Oh god, we're in a transsexual Transylvania.
Lexi shoots a look at Luke, grinning.
Sure, Mom! She answers. I think I can handle that!
Wait, why is the author left-handing after the sex?
Still grinning, she shuts the door again and turns back towards Luke, who has gotten out of bed and is pulling on his underwear.
It was Yoda underwear, and it was in preparation for his Jedi training that day. Next up is David.
Oh boy!
You're on it's P6.
Yay!
All that I see after the savings. From P5?
6.
It's stuck in my head, too.
It's because it's a good song. In the quietness of this moment, so different than the madness to fuck earlier. Luke can take in his surroundings, like Lexi herself, her bedroom was simultaneously both different and familiar. It is still quintessentially her, but a number of details are different, even as many. The bed, the furniture, the curtains are the same.
1 hour later.
He notices an LSAT test prep book lying open on her desk. You want to be a lawyer? He asks. Lexi makes a face as she fishes a bra out of a drawer.
I caught one! It's a live one!
Dad wants me to be a lawyer, she corrects. They get dressed quickly, him picking his clothes from earlier off of Lexi's floor. He watches as Lexi pulls on a pair of jeans and a cream-colored over-the-shoulder sweater.
Are we supposed to find this erotic?
Yes! Hey, Steve, she looks good in it, although it's hardly an expected surprise.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen Lexi? If not,
yeah, this is like, called The Printed Word, which makes you imagine Lexi, and I'm imagining some quadruple Z's on her, you know what I'm saying?
I don't, but go ahead.
My girlfriend wasn't the only one with 36 D's on a report card, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't, but go ahead.
What?
What? My girlfriend in high school had...
How many subjects did she take in one semester?
Look, Steve, it's a joke, shut up! If Luke remembers correctly, Gwen is about a year and a half younger than Lexi, and the family resemblance between the two girls is pretty clearly noticeable, although Gwen is about half an inch taller than Lexi, 2.5 right now, since she's wearing heels and Lexi isn't, slightly thinner and improbably blonder, particularly improbably considering the fact that Luke distinctly remembers that when he left for Africa...
Go ahead.
She had the brunette with several shades darker. Then Lexi should wear a top whose neckline can only be described as plunging, and Luke can't help but appreciate the view.
Just everybody in his family is up for grabs, apparently.
Of course, considering that just hours ago he had been making love to his sister, he supposes that perving on his cousin hardly qualifies as worthy of mention.
No. You're right. No, it's not a relative comparison here. You fucked your sister. That's bad enough. In that case, definitely do not be ogling your cousin, because that's like... never mind.
This is gross.
Oni-chan, even though we're not really brother or sister, and I've been living with you since I was 6, I want to have you babies.
Like, are they genetically brother or sister?
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't Japan. Mm. Yeah, it's not going to pull that kind of twist on you.
Like, even Japan is classy enough to not make it between two actual flesh and blood siblings.
Most of the time.
They sit down at the dining room table. Dad's at the head of the table, and Mom on his right, and Lexi on his left, and Grandma at the foot.
Okay.
Luke's in between Lex and Gwen, across from Aunt Mary.
Lex and Gwen then started playing with his dick under the table. I bet you anything that's going to happen.
Suddenly, Luke. The heat came on underneath the table, and Luke's dick caught on fire.
It appears I've spilt some stuff on my big cock.
It was Folgers. I spilt Folgers on my cock.
I guess that's the cream.
Keep going, anyway. Dave.
Luke tells him about the work he does and what a life in Côte d'Ivoire. Even though he knows they really don't understand, because that's not a real place.
The Ivory Coast.
You're a fucking shut up. Maybe. With the exception of Lexi and Gwen, they're not even really paying all that close attention. Sorry. Oh, goodness.
Are you still dating that French girl?
Uncle Pete is seconds away from death.
Uncle Pete asks, in the middle of a heart attack, in the middle of Luke's description of the fractious political situation.
What was her name? Colleen.
Dave.
Colette, answers Luke. No, we broke up a few months ago.
He is not French.
He is now.
No, he is a super frat. No, we broke up a few months ago.
Sam, it's back to you. We broke up a few
minutes, months ago.
Come on, Sam.
What?
I'm sorry.
Why?
Ask Gwen, her gaze intent. Gwendolyn, Aunt Mary cautions.
As they sort of meandered into the land of Mordor.
Yep.
It's all right, says Luke. We realize the passion wasn't there anymore, I guess.
Conversation passes away from him then, and Uncle Pete launches into an anecdote about a particularly troublesome customer at the car dealership he manages.
This Luke is the most boring and realistic Christmas I've ever read.
Yeah.
Luke just stares at his plate as he pushes the food around with his fork, trying deliberately not to look at either Lexi or Gwen.
Oh,
especially
no.
The incest.
Eventually, after cleaning up the mess and washing the dishes several rounds of after-dinner eggnog, the extended family members leave, and it's just him, Lexi, and their parents.
Oh, I know where they're going here. They're going to put two scoops of cream in the Folgers.
Two scoops!
Anyway, they all turn into bed, Luke and Lexi staying a few steps back from their parents as they all go up the steps, so that once Mom and Dad have gone into their bedroom and closed the door, Luke can give his sister a lingering goodnight kiss before they part ways and retire to their separate rooms. His room is almost exactly the way he left it 5 years ago, from his trying too hard to be ironic t-shirts in his closet, to his high school hockey equipment, to his collection of ghost ship infidel gold comic books.
Ghost soup.
Including issue number 172, signed by Marcos Johnson himself, who played Luke in the original Ghost Soup Infidel Blue TV show back in the 50s.
Okay, there's a lot of Luke's going on here. And on top of that, I mean, okay, so the first night he spent in his sister's room, right? Is this the first time he's legitimately walked into his room since he's been home?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Except for that one sentence where the author accidentally said that she dragged him into his room. Also, if that's been 5 years, there's going to be like 7 inches of dust on everything.
The mom like went in and routinely cleaned everything.
Which most mothers do.
Nah.
I'm really, really bored. I want to go clean everything.
No, she was busy having folders.
I'm just wondering where the excruciating detail of ghost soup comics is coming from.
Because the author couldn't think of anything else but their own room to describe Luke's room.
He's going around like...
Are you just looking at things around the
room?
Jesus
Christ.
You love them? It seems almost alien to him now, these relics from a past life, as he slips into his bed, turns off the light, and gently falls once again into unconsciousness. Visions of Lexi dancing through his head.
He stayed unconscious for about
2 years. He woke up in a puddle. Wow.
The problem was his favorite hobby was Rufalin.
Chapter 2. Saturday, December 26th, 2009. Boxing Day.
I can't wait for the moon to crash into this planet.
48 hours remain. Anyway, chapter text.
Time to get up, sleepyhead.
Luke opens his eyes and turns over in his bed to see Lexi standing in his doorway, dressed in a tank top and panties.
Oh,
man. Mom and Dad are already gone on their strapping extravaganza, she says.
Thank you, Teen Girl Squad.
So we have the house to ourselves for the day.
It's my best Christmas present ever. Miss Piggy's going to have sex with me.
Every year since Luke and Lexi were old enough to leave home alone for the day, Luke and Leia were old enough to leave home alone for the day. Mom and Dad have spent the entirety of Boxing Day shopping, going from one after Christmas sale to another.
Luke gets out
of his bed, dressed only in his boxer shorts.
I really need a shower, he notes.
The last time when he bathed had been, what, a couple of days, not to mention continents ago?
What? Ew!
He's incontinent.
Body odor is multiplied for every continent you cross.
Yeah,
that's gross.
Page 8. Woo!
Oh, sorry. I stopped paying attention. I was focused too hard on getting a boner. All right, I guess it's my turn again.
Interested in company?
Lexi asks with a grin. Oh, no.
Yes, but not from you.
Would you like some company, Strongman?
Yeah, no. And the ugly ones are looking so good right now.
And the two make their way into the bedroom and divest themselves of their themselves of their few garments in a matter of seconds, standing naked in front of each other. While yesterday's frenzied lovemaking had been wild and enthusiastic and undeniably satisfying, now they are able to take their time, appreciate each other's bodies without the crazed desperation that had overtaken them the day before.
None of that is true. They're like both in their 20s. They are still just going to fuck like rabbits.
Luke enjoys the luxury of a long, leisurely look at his sister's naked figure, taking in the gentle, graceful curves of her femininity.
He thinks to himself for a long time, wow, I really am having sex with my sister.
Yay! Yep. Living the American dream there, kiddo. Lexi pulls back the shower curtain and turns on the water and slips and falls and gets a concussion.
But fortunately, he had life alert.
Help, I fucked my sister and I can't get up.
No, it's I can't get out.
She put super glue in there.
Oh, that's tragic and gross.
She panics and they begin running down the neighborhood. Just, someone help!
Like, I just imagine like it's like in an anime where she's like fucking swinging from his cock.
Waiting a few seconds to let it get warm before stepping into the tub. He steps in after her, then returns the curtain. It's not unsexual, of course. His clearly visual erection is plain enough evidence of that. But still, it's oddly platonic as they wash each other in the shower, their soapy hands working their ways over each other's body. As she rubs a washcloth against his chest and he runs a loofah along her breasts, her back, her ass.
Dirty girl who loves loofahs.
Loofahs are kind of gross.
Yeah. They are kind of gross. A relic of a bygone age.
They're so gross, but she loves them.
The difference between their ages was large enough that they never bathed together as young children. But it's almost as he imagines that would have been like if they had, naked and innocent together without the overwhelming need for sex.
Please stop imagining your younger, sister.
Right, like it's already
Okay, I'll stop thinking about my younger sister. I'll move on to thinking about my younger cousin.
My younger, blonder cousin.
Overwhelmingly blonder.
Improbably blonder.
Improbably blonde, too.
But then
wait a second, Gwen. You're way too blonde right now.
But then
I'm actually Spider-Man.
He slips his hand between her legs, and she gives a little shudder as he presses it against her clit. He pushes her against the wall.
I bet she's feeling great right now.
Yeah, with that gross-ass loofah that's probably been used by everybody in the house. You know, Dad washed his ass with it.
Oh, so it's an ass.
I was just saying, that's how you get an infection, dude. Anyways.
I'm going to take some antibiotics to deal with this.
He pushes her against the wall of the shower and pins her there with a kiss, even as he works his fingers inside of her. Just special note, soap on fingers in vagina, very painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He moves them with a confident competence. Not how I would classify fingering somebody, but okay.
Yeah, as opposed to a competent confidence.
I'm trying to figure out, how does that even work?
It's self-grading, but he doesn't have a lot of, confidence, so he's like, yeah, I'm not terrible at it, but I'm no A student, so C+, confident competence. Slowly at first, then more quickly.
Your explanation? Strangely satisfactory.
My explanation was confidently competent.
As opposed to satisfactorily strange.
Yeah.
He must have been right yesterday about her biting back her sounds, because right now she's not even trying to hold back as she releases moan after incredibly audible moan of pleasure.
Yes!
She says.
Oh yeah,
drawing out the word, so it almost fades into the hiss of the showerhead.
Oh, Luke, yes!
Whoa!
She almost collapses into him as she comes,
and they both slip over.
And he's left holding her up in the shower. Oh shit! She went limp.
Yeah, no way they don't fall over right now.
Then she pushes him back away from the wall, carefully drops to her knees in the tub, and takes him into his mouth.
Into his mouth?
Yeah, exactly.
Now bend over!
She pulls off his detachable dick and puts it in his mouth.
She gives fabulous head, which apparently he knew about beforehand because of the tents, but okay. And she's not sure whether he wants to curse or thank her past boyfriends for that fact. That's really fucking weird. Like, really?
This is really effing weird.
After he comes, she spits it out onto the floor of the tub. The water...
Patchouli!
Patchouli!
She spits it down in the tub. Ding!
Not swallowed!
Who does that?
The water of the shower sending his ejaculate spiraling down into the drain.
And then the drain became clogged.
I mean, that would be pretty gross to, like, pick up one of those drain grates and just have it be all filmy and, white. They get out of the shower and towel each other off, then quickly break apart to their own rooms to get dressed. Mom and Dad haven't noticed the fucking thing, apparently.
No, they're out shopping.
Have you had breakfast? He asks Lexi when they regroup in the hall. He in a jeans and a t-shirt. A red t-shirt with a white star, apparently.
Stop.
She in gym shorts and a college sweatshirt. She shrugs.
I had yogurt a while. I was waiting for Mom and Dad to leave.
She says... And please take it away from me, Logan, because I'm scared.
I feel like you should be. Let me make you something, he says, making his way down the steps. He looks through the refrigerator, then begins to pull out ingredients. Eggs, cheese, garlic, onions, peppers, mushrooms, and so on.
I don't know what other ingredients are, but he probably pulled out
He walked into the kitchen while, voice to text talking for this story and just looks around in the cabinet like just
Shut
one
up.
Area.
Shut up!
No!
Are you making a West African dish? Lexi asks as she dumps him. What? Fuck!
She dumps him.
Yeah. Watches him chop the peppers.
You're gonna make a West African dish? Fuck this. I'm out.
We're going back to being siblings.
We're also going back to Africa.
I'm making an omelet, he tells her, as he dumps chopped peppers into the bowl and begins on the onions. I do make a mean bangu, though, if I do say so myself.
Bangu-chan, no.
When he finishes her omelet, he slips onto a plate in front of her. That starts making his own. Oh, shit! Can I ask you a question? Lexi asks suddenly. She looks almost nervous, not quite meeting Luke's eyes. Anything, he says, knowing it's a dangerous promise to make, but unable to deny her anything. Did you leave because of me? And there it is. No, he says immediately. Then, yes, I don't know, Lex. It's more complicated than that. I needed to get away so I could find myself. But yeah, one of the things I needed to get away from was... that I couldn't help spending every moment thinking about how much I wanted to fuck my 16-year-old sister.
That is a finish a drink moment.
It said earlier that they were too far apart in age that they would have baths together when they were kids. So he must have been like at least 20-something when he left for Africa. Also, it's like, I needed to find myself. So I fucked off to another country for 5 years.
Lexi studies him, curiously. And did that work? John shrugs. Oh, somebody fucked up with their self-insert.
Yeah, John, did it work?
Yeah, John.
John dies at the end.
No.
Did I stop thinking about it? No. But at least it kept me from doing something I would regret. Lexi nods.
As opposed to last night.
Lexi nods, thoughtful. I'm not 16 anymore, you know. You're still my sister, he points out. Lexi doesn't say anything. She doesn't have to. After all, he's come back from Africa. And they've already done twice now what he's yearned to do for so many years now. Right or wrong. It's happened.
That's a good attitude to take. Fuck it. It's already happened. Might as well go all the way.
All the way again and again and again.
Again and again.
He flips his omelet onto a plate, turns off the stove, and sits down next to Lexi. You know, I really did. I found my place. The place where I'm supposed to be. Doing what I'm supposed to do. And not in a white man's burden sort of way either. It just... He breaks off, not sure how to describe it so that Lexi will understand.
This is a lot of... this author is really talented. They read a lot of character out of these people who appeared in a 40-second commercial.
Don't do that! Never do that ever again!
What, you mean the thing where I said, home?
See, it's not as effective the second time.
Yeah, we were expecting it that time.
What if I said home, Lexi offers?
Yeah, Luke agrees, home. Oh, except for one thing.
Lexi doesn't ask what that one thing is. He's pretty sure it's because she already knows she's it. They clean up the mess for breakfast, then move into the living room so they can bone there. Then they bone in the kitchen. Then they go off the checklist of everywhere else they need to bone.
It's an itemized scavenger hunt.
By the end of it, they have turned into Sans and Papyrus.
Turn all of your broken bones into one hideous super bone.
They clean up the mess from breakfast, then move into the living room and commence a Christmas movie marathon consisting of... The Muppets Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, The Christmas Toy, okay. Batman Returns, A Charlie Brown
Batman
Christmas.
Batman Returns is a Christmas movie?
Of Actually, and of course, Luke's bootleg VHS of Star Wars, I mean Ghost Soup Infidel Red Holiday Special. They sit together on the couch under a blanket, with Leia curled up at his side, as they watch their familiar, beloved Christmas classics.
I like to fuck my cat.
No. I don't know. I personally define, like, Jurassic Park to me is a Christmas movie.
Where's Die Hard? I would have let you, you know, Lexi says about two-thirds of the way into Batman Returns.
Something about this movie, something about the penguin, just makes me want to open up to people.
Danny DeVito is a sexual aphrodisiac.
No, it means... Hang on, Muppets, Christmas Carol, Wonderful Life, Christmas Toy, then Batman Returns. So it's like, what, 6 hours later, she thought, God, what am I going to say about this?
Muppets Christmas Carol's got Tim Curry in it, so, you know, that's good.
No, that was Treasure Island.
Whatever, same thing, Christmas movie. You know John Goodman had a cameo in that movie for no reason?
Luke blinks at the unexpected comment. What? I would have let you fuck me before you laughed. Luke closes his eyes. I know, he says, although he didn't. Or at least hadn't realized he had known until just now.
John, Arthur, what are you doing?
That's part of the reason why I had to leave.
Leia doesn't say anything else. Luke opens his eyes, and they watch the Dark Knight save Christmas from the Penguin and Catwoman in silence. Why did I have to be Batman Returns?
Because Danny DeVito is a sexual dynamo.
You know what I bet happens right before she says, you know, she would have let him. He was going on and on about how, look, Batman's totally killing people in this. And then she just, out of nowhere, I would have let you fuck me.
I think of it differently. Like, here's how it would have happened. He's nerding out and stuff. He's like, goddamn, Batman's killing everybody here. This is the real Batman. My kid's terrible. Fucking Tim Burton's the worst director ever. And then she just grabs his cock and she's like, I would let you fuck me. And then he's
about
like,
halfway. Oh. So they went through Batman Returns, then went through all of Charlie Brown Christmas. And then, about halfway through Love Actually, Leia picks up the remote and freezes the movie. She threw the remote at the TV. It was the only way she could think of. Do you want to get food? She asks. Luigi's, maybe? You made breakfast, so it's my treat. Also, you didn't have American money. You got that filthy foreign money.
What the shit? What the shit?
Should I actually say that?
No.
No. Now that's a suggestion Luke can get behind. Filthy foreign money.
You know what I mean?
Most of his favorite foods he can get in West Africa. Though every time it comes up, it makes it sound like he's being super smug and elitist about it. Oh, you know, it's almost as good as in West Africa.
It's like Beverly Hills.
Most of his favorite foods he can get in West Africa done as well or better than at home. See, it is. As long as he's willing to pay for it. The exception tends to be cheap junk food. With the comma in there for some reason. And no one makes pizza and hot wings like Luigi. This fanfiction brought to you by Luigi's and Folgers. Available at your local grocery store. Something, something. Leia makes the call, then puts the movie back on. 20 minutes later, the delivery boy arrives with their food. Leia pays for it, and soon they're fucking the delivery... they're sitting in front of the TV eating their dinner.
No. The delivery guy, unless some sort of long-lost twin, like, from Days of Our Lives or General Hospital, there's no fucking involved there.
John, it's really you, our long-lost triplet sibling.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
They're soon sitting in front of the TV, eating their dinner. A TV dinner, if you will. It's just as good, bad, as Luke remembers. When the last deliciously bad moment of the GSIR holiday special gives way to static and noise.
Yeah.
TV in 2009 never had static. They just go to like infomercials. Lexi gets up and returns the VHS to its nondescript case. Do you want to watch anything else? She asks. Me? Undress?
David.
Slowly?
Your turn.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah. You're on page 11. Beautiful.
Okay. Mm. Nah, he says. I think that's good. He pauses, decides to go for it. You never opened your present yesterday, he points out to her.
As if they didn't have enough going on.
David, if you can do Luke as Mark Hamill's Joker, that'll be awesome.
Ooh, that's okay. A tough call.
You never opened your present yesterday.
That's Vegeta, but go on.
That's okay.
No, Vegeta is different. He's like, you never opened your present yesterday.
Kakarot.
See, there's a difference. There you go. Now you know. She smiles at him, a levacious grin.
No, Yoda, please don't. No.
Really did, I think.
No.
Luke sighs dramatically. But he can't help smiling.
Your real present,
he says, and makes his way to his room where his pack now is. He returns with the wrapped gift box he had given her the day before, now missing its bow. She opens it and oohs and ahs at the collection of West African. A necklace, a bracelet, a ring, all made from intricately hand-carved wood pieces.
Beautiful are these,
she says, putting on the jewelry.
There's something else,
Batsy.
There's something else, Batsy.
Wait, her name is Lexi. It works out fine for you there.
There's something else, Lexi.
She's talking to Lex Luthor.
I'm going to kill Superman. Just give me all of the kryptonite.
I'm going to fill a bunch of balloons with kryptonite.
Because that's economical.
I'm dying here.
Shut up, bitch. I'm drawing shapes.
That's please close enough to Joker.
Please continue.
He adds, suddenly feeling incredibly self-conscious as he pulls out a plain white envelope and hands it to her. She opens it up and looks inside.
This is what?
She asks, dumbstruck. It's one way... Wait. Okay, so he's just thinking this. It's a one-way plane ticket to Azerbaijan via Paris.
Come back with me,
he offers. Luke can see the hesitation, the uncertainty pass across her face.
I know it's asking a lot,
he says before she can answer. Can tell him no.
You don't have to decide right now. Just think about it.
You just have to decide within the next 6 days. That's way
otherwise,
more
otherwise, I'll release every inmate of Gotham Asylum. Gotham will be free for everyone at Blackgate.
Either you come back with me to West Africa, or the Gotham inmates come back with me.
That would be a really awkward
ride home.
Oh, God.
Well, boys, she said no. So guess who's going?
And Bane and Killer Croc both get window seats and are really pissed that they couldn't get the aisle.
Well, Bane is like four seats at that point.
He's four seats squared.
So he takes up the entire first class.
He's holding like a tiny champagne glass.
All right.
He wants to plead with her, beg her to come back with him. Tell her that if she doesn't, he'll broken in half, torn between her and the place he's supposed to be, the work he's supposed to do.
Oh, okay. I thought it said he would break her in half, and I'm like,
I must break you. So now he's Ivan Drago Bane.
What? This character is every character.
But he doesn't, because he suspects she already understands all that and knows it wouldn't be fair to her to make her listen to him say that. If she says yes, it'll have to be because she wants to, not because he needs her to.
This is bad emotional like this is really terrible emotional manipulation. As terrible as in like it's really mean of him to do this to her.
A pair of lights pull into the driveway outside. Their parents are home from their day of consumeristic excess.
And they forgot the car, they just brought the lights back with them.
And a few moments later, they enter, carrying the shopping bags full of their spoils. Did the two of you have fun today?
Bow chicka bow wow.
Batman asks as she dumps her bags on the couch.
Batmom.
Batmom asks. Lexi nods and the agreement on her face seems to be genuine.
Mostly just watch Christmas movies and ate pizza we did.
Luigi's.
Mostly ate Mario's brother we did.
All right, circling back to Sam.
It's like they watched 12 movies, right? It's close to that.
Well, it's been 2 days that have passed and it's just early afternoon when the sun sets.
Her parents have been missing for 48 hours.
Yeah, that sounds fun, Dad says.
It was, Luke says, as he makes his way up the stairs to his room. He spends about an hour reading Tale of the Bluebird by Nee Parks. He then turns off his light and goes to sleep. Chapter 3, Sunday, December 27th, 2009.
Every
Chapter
time it X. says that, I imagine it's like a Law and Order thing.
24 hours remain.
Sunday morning, there's a knock on his door.
Mom wants to know if you're going to church.
All right, nope, I'm out. Nope.
Leia asks from the other side of it. This in itself is evidence of the kid gloves Luke's parents are now treating him with. Any other year, it would have gone without saying that Luke would have gone with his family to church. But 5 years away has apparently driven home the point that he's an adult now, and they can't actually force him to do anything he doesn't want to do.
So he ran away as part of his teen angst phase, got it.
At the same time, there's no point in driving a wedge even further between him and his parents. If going to church with them will make them happy for this week, he's with them. Then he certainly can do that. Besides, his family always goes to Parker's Diner after Mass, and if there's anything he's missed as much as Luigi's Pizza and Wings, it's Parker's French Toast, new from Parker's Diner!
He's going to make himself so fat by the time he goes back to Africa.
I love you, Lexi.
Sure.
You can have the next shower, then!
Leia says.
No! Why are we doing this?
Roy started it.
Because it's Luke and Leia!
A half hour later, he's downstairs, dressed in a shirt and tie and one of his old sports jackets, which fortunately still fits, ready to go to church. His father, similarly attired, is already waiting. Leia comes down a couple minutes later with a slim black dress and white sweater and white stockings.
And white foundation and black eyeliner and black lipstick.
And I'm like,
you really don't have to get dressed up really well to go to church. I really hate that. That seems to be an American trend. I've never had to
really
like get
dressed because Jesus was all humble and shit.
No, you got to look good for Jesus. Apparently, Jesus got standards. Oh, that's now vanity.
His mother finally appears 10 minutes after that. They get into his father's station wagon, and in 10 minutes, they're pulling into the parking lot of St. Luke the Evangelist Roman Catholic
Thank
Church.
Thank God the saint was called Luke.
St. Cool Hand Luke the Evangelist.
Well, they didn't want to do St. John. Yeah. He didn't want to deify himself.
There's a life-size painting of the saintly physician standing... Yes, physicians. Standing next to the church sign, holding a staff and a Bible, with a dove whispering in his ear.
I actually imagine there's a doctor
and
there just...
And his sister, who's also next to him on the sign.
The doctor's standing next to the church sign, just holding up a big, like, glowy light that says, Eat at Joe's.
Also, like, the sign, like, his pose, like that Jesus from Dogma.
Oh, Buddy Christ?
Yep.
Yeah, Buddy Christ.
He's a kindly, bearded man, and Luke remembers the way he'd felt a certain kinship with his first century namesake as a child, wanting to grow up just to be like St. Luke, who I'm sure fucked his sister off.
His family is seeming like
all the time.
His parents are seeming kind of sinister in their Christianity right now.
A tiny bit.
He's lowered his expectations for himself quite a bit since. Can't imagine.
Well, I can't be a saint. I guess I'll just be a badass world traveler.
They get out of the station wagon and enter the church, sitting in a pew about a third in from the back. 5 minutes until they're joined by
There's
Uncle
no
Pete,
until.
Aunt Mary, Wen, and Luke finds himself once again seated between Leia and Chewie.
Yuck down auxiliary power, Steve.
Well, that's not Chewie, it's Gwen Stacy.
He tries to get into the magic and mystery of the service.
Mystery Service Theater 3000.
Starring St. Michael, St. Crow, and St. Servo.
No, when they came into the... When they walked into the church, the Beatles were playing. It was the magical mystery tour.
I can't go on. He tries to get into the magic and mystery of the service the way he used to so easily as a child, but he finds he can't help but be conscious of how off-key his own voice is as he sings the hymns, or how the lectors stumble over names. Then he's consigned to 20 minutes listening to Monsignor preach about the miracle of the incarnation and the horrors of abortion. The homily leaves it profoundly unclear what, if anything, the two things actually have to do with each other. Monsignor seems to finally tire himself out eventually, and they move on to the creed.
At least he didn't go on about incest, or else he might actually feel a little bad.
When it's time for communion, Luke stays seated as everyone else stands up. Lexi gets up with her parents and hesitates, then sits back down next to... Hi, Val. Why are you looking at me like that? We're reading incest porn fake. Don't look at me like that!
Keep looking at him like that.
Judge him with your eyes.
She brought me gum. Gum to take the taste away from my mouth.
Oh, that's sweet.
Why do you have a taste in your mouth?
Unfortunately, it's semen flavored gum.
Yes.
K-gum.
K-k-k-cum-gum.
Cum-gum.
All right.
That's what Steve said.
That sounds like a Pokemon. Gum-cum.
Lexi gets... Lexi!
Leia.
Yeah. R2-D2 gets up with her parents.
What's that, R2?
Hesitates, then sits back down next to Luke. Luke lets himself watch Gwen's hips swing back and forth.
Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
If there's something I like more than my sister's hips, it's my cousin's.
As she makes her way up the communion line.
There's no way they're not going to fuck. Like, she's doing that on purpose.
Yes,
the
but the real
question sways back and forth.
The real question is, are his sister and his cousin going to end up scissoring?
Yes.
Okay.
Scissor me timber, Steve-o.
He still believes in God, he thinks, but the God he believes in no longer fits in the box that Catholicism seems to want to put him, her, it, them into. So, wait, you're making a fic about incest, and you're bringing religion into the deal.
He's making a fic about coffee.
You know what? You know your stuff, author. I'm gonna trust you here. He does his best to pray anyway. He prays for Côte d'Ivoire, that they might finally get the election they've been waiting for so many years.
Obama.
He prays for the hungry.
Four more years.
He prays for the hungry and sick all across Africa and the globe.
Hungry, that's me. I'm hungry right
He was
now.
The best martial artist in his high school and also the world.
Bruce Lee.
He prays for his parents that they might learn to accept that his place is not here with them. But apparently here with his sister.
Yeah. No. He's not worried about his parents accepting his weird relationship with his sister. Just his place in the world.
His place in the house. He can't afford rent. He prays for himself and Leia, Lexi, that here he is stuck. He should pray for their absolution, but he cannot bring himself to be sorry for what they've shared together the past couple of days.
Flip a coin. It works out. It's perfectly fair.
He hopes fervently that she will say yes and come with him.
God of all people knows how fine his sister is, so...
But that needs to be her decision, not some deity's.
He asks God for help.
All right, wait a minute. Jarring transition here. So they're talking about God approving of his incestuous relationship. Parker's thick slices of French toast.
What?
I feel like there should have been like some lines to denote a scene break right there.
Are just as decadent and indulgent as he remembers. And he savors every bite. Lexi gets an omelet.
It's not as good as yours.
She whispers over to him. Gwen talks about how she's taken up photography as part of one of her college classes. I imagine Gwen is strong sad.
You should come over and take a look at my art sometime.
Yeah, strong sad. I'll totally do that.
Gwen tells him. Luke makes a noncommittal answer and continues to enjoy his French toast.
Yeah, that was pretty noncommittal, I think.
Wex? He asks, knocking on her door.
Come in!
She says. He enters, and she's hanging up her dress, wearing her bra and panties and white stockings.
It's not just my imagination, White. Luke asks. Gwen was really just hitting on me?
I don't think talking about your art and photography counts as hitting. Fuck!
No, because Leia's about to agree, so it was true.
That means, you know what that means, guys.
Confirmation bias.
Oh, she was hitting on you hard,
agrees cheerleader.
Not that I can blame her. She doesn't know you're already taken!
Switch to Miss Piggy next time.
Fine! It's your turn, Logan.
That is the sound of a defeated man.
Luke page puts... 14, brought to you by Parker's.
Every page is sponsored by a different meal.
Luke puts his head in his hands. God, this family is so fucked up.
No, it's just you guys.
Yeah, it's just these three.
It could be worse, points out Lexi. It could have been Aunt Mary. Jesus, Lex, swears Luke. Thanks a lot for that image. Lexi, brief smiles. That's not a word.
It is. I just don't remember how it's pronounced.
Beat a fecally.
Sure. Fecally.
Beat a fecally. Beat that fecallys. What are sisters for? Luke reaches out. Luke reaches out and pulls Lexi down into his lap. I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm pretty sure it's not what I use mine for.
Yeah, use. That's a good verb.
Actual vomit in my mouth. Chapter 4, Monday, December 28th, 2009. Chapter text.
Dun, dun.
Luke has a brief teleconference meeting with his coworkers back in Africa.
Say Skyped.
No, fuck you.
He's being sponsored by everything else.
In Africa at 1 in the morning, in the afternoon, Greenwich Mean Time, which has him getting up a little earlier than he would have preferred on vacation. But it's no real chore talking out the issues with Jox and Landry. After all, it's not like they can expect him to actually do anything from across the Atlantic Ocean. And in some ways, it's a breath of fresh air to reimmerse himself, however briefly and virtually, in his African life after his disorienting return home. Suddenly, he realizes that both Jacques and Landry have gone silent. He's about to ask what is the matter when Jacques tells him, Steve, can you help me?
Pat Buchanan.
Okay. Luke glances behind him, and sure enough, there's Lexi standing in his doorway, watching him with a thoughtful expression on her face. C'est Lexi, elle est... He breaks off.
C'est Lexi, elle... And that's it.
Yeah, I only took, like, a year and a half of French.
Also, il y a une très belle fille dans votre porte.
I don't know what
that is. There's a awesome girl right
behind. Oh, sorry, there... Yeah, there's a... He can't tell them Lexi's his sister, not if he wants to bring her back to Africa with him as his lover.
Elle est mon ami.
He tells them weakly.
Juste un ami? Go ahead.
Landry asks, an incredulous smile on his lips.
Pas un petit ami, peut-être?
What is
a potato?
Peut-être.
What is poète?
I don't know. I know how to read it. I don't know how to translate it.
If only someone who spoke French was in the vicinity.
If only we knew somebody.
I told her to, you know, I'll be right back.
Luke shrugs. Eh bien. En potato, spécial.
A potato.
Je sais pas. Jacques breaks into a big grin. Allez. He says, amusez-vous avec votre ami. Nous sommes très bien sans vous. Luke doesn't need to be told twice. D'accord, he agrees. Fuck this chapter. Blah, 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 blah. He terminates the connection, then turns to Lexi. What's up, Lex? Yeah. She holds up a phone. Apparently, someone heard you were in town, she says. He raises his arm, and she gently tosses it overhand to him. Hello? He asks cautiously after he catches it.
God, what kind of best friend would he have?
Hey, man.
A familiar voice responds enthusiastically.
Nope.
Betty said she thought she saw you in church yesterday. You were really going to come back without checking in with your best friend?
No, I wasn't, I swear.
Swear to me!
Sorry, Luke answers automatically. It's been a bit busy the last few days with the holiday and all. Also, I was boning this hot chick. You probably don't know her.
Yeah, I figured.
Harry agrees. Harry? That's a boring name.
So you got any plans for the rest of the week?
Other than this New Year's thing Lexi invited me to, not really, Luke admits. Sorry, Leia. You want to come over today and hang, brah?
Sounds good, brah,
answers Harry.
I have to imagine you have some rocking stories to tell after 5 years in West Africa. See you then, man.
So, what did you say about me? Lexi asks as she takes the phone back.
That you invited me to your New Year's Eve party?
He answers, confused. She was standing right there the whole conversation. She was apparently deaf as a post. Lexi rolls her eyes. Not Harry. On Skype. She said Skype there. Why could it say before? She clarifies, gesturing towards Luke's laptop. I may have gotten a C- in French, but I can recognize my own name. Deck.
Oh, says Luke. That makes more sense. They asked if you were my girlfriend.
And?
I told them I hope so. Did I mention how I prayed to God earlier today? That was pretty sweet.
Just like,
this clearly pleases Leia, who beams down, thanks to the Starship Enterprise, and kisses him on his cheek. Man, never is.
That was the beam down noise.
Oh, hang on.
Sorry if it wasn't clear.
Man never is, but always to be blessed, she says enigmatically, but it doesn't really work with her stupid voice.
No, it's the best poet in the world, Justin Bieber.
Luke furrows his brow into a monobrow.
Shakespeare, he guesses.
Pope. Lexi answers with a knowing smile and waltzes out of his room. She smacks straight to his door. Puzzled, Luke turns back to his laptop and does a quick Google search. The quote turns out to be from Alexander Pope's An Essay on Man, which the author probably had lying around because they had to do that for one of their college assignments.
Hope humbly, then, with trembling pinions soar, wait the great teacher death and God adore. What future bliss? He gives not thee to know, but gives that hope to be thy blessing now.
Am I really supposed to stop halfway through the poem?
Yes, you are. It's David's turn. Because David gets to say the B word.
I could say the B word? Boobies? I could say brunch?
You could say Beaver?
You get to say Batman.
Batman.
Do you know what page you're on, Dave?
Page 15.
16. Always 16. Just add.
No, do 15. One. We'll just do 15 forever. It's Groundhog Day.
Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. The soul, uneasy and confined from home, rests and expatiates in a life to come. He's not quite sure what to make of that.
Interesting decision by Alexander Pope to put that in the poem.
As true as it is, since it was written.
It's good to spend time with Harry again, but it's also strange. He's forcefully aware that it was as much an accident as anything that they ended up best friends in high school, keeping in touch through college. They didn't really have all that much in common, a point that is driven home with emphasis as they compare stories from the last 5 years.
Prince Harry?
Lexi greets Harry as she enters the living room.
You want a beer?
Sure, Harry agrees, flashing Lexi a smile as she departs for the kitchen.
Oh God, make him Sean Connery.
Sure. Wait. Okay, so this is Harry.
So what have you been up to now that you're back?
Okay, so who's Luke?
Luke is Leia.
Luke Skywalker.
Okay, so
Arcane. I don't know. Mostly, I've just been hanging out with Lexi.
Harry gets a strange look on his face.
Do you think that's wise?
Sure, Harry Potter, who is kind of effeminate.
See, he was going boobs, which is pretty natural for his boys his age.
Harry gets a strange look on his face. Yes, why? What do you mean? He didn't think Harry knew about the tension between him and Lexi, but now he has to wonder what exactly his friend might have suspected.
Nothing, man. You can't read that as Sean Connery because he doesn't say that. Nothing, man.
Harry says as Lexi enters the building.
Building.
Lexi enters holding three bottles of Yingling and a bottle opener.
You guys going to go to the Henderson Party Wednesday night?
That's amorphous blob voice. That's terrible.
No, that's.
Hey, bunkmate.
Yes, yeah, there you go. See, he knows who I'm talking about.
Hey, bunkmate. Can you rub lotion on me? I'll die if you don't. You love me.
Every year, Felicia Henderson and her brother Jonathan hold a big party the night before New Year's Eve.
Probably.
And Lexi answers with a shrug.
And
this is a walking bag of disease.
I don't see why not. It's always a good time.
Because we're having a good time.
It sounds like you're melting. This is your star. I've been waiting for telekinesis cars to find laws of gravity. I'll make a supersonic bread out of you. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. Don't stop me. Don't stop me now.
I can't breathe.
Okay.
Folger's coffee. God sponsors of pestilence.
Harry nods as he takes a Yingling from Lexi, then holds it out so she can take the cap off. Lexi hands a bottle to Luke and sits down on the couch in between the two of them. Luke's first thought is that after the way she was cuddled up by his side on Saturday night, the distance she's leaving between her and him on the couch is, while undeniably prudent, strange, and uncomfortable.
He has decided to voice this and said to Lexi, "The way your distance you're leaving is undeniably prudent, but leaving me strange and comfortable. Strange and uncomfortable."
He has to fight the urge to pull her closer or to lay his hand on her thigh.
Or to touch her in one of 100 other forbidden ways.
Keep an eye out for my book, 100 Forbidden Ways to Touch Your Sister, coming out this fall.
By
and every single page just says, all the ways.
By Jake
sister.
J.K. Left, Dowling.
Right.
Up, also, up, welcome down, back down.
Inside. Left,
right, yes, hi, Val.
Breast, ass, start.
Quarter rotation. Quarter circle forward.
Engage rotor.
I know how to make love.
His second thought was how weird it was to see her with a beer in her hand, despite everything.
Despite fucking her at least once a day since he'd been back.
Since he's been back!
He still hadn't come entirely to terms with the fact that she's an adult now. And his baby sister isn't 16 years old anymore.
16 candles, the Folgers coffee commercial.
Don't call her baby sister.
Wouldn't that just be 16 cans of coffee?
Also, don't
call... Oh, God, no, not 16 cans of Folgers. Ugh.
Don't call it a comeback, and don't call that coffee, because it's not. Anyways, we're circling back for one last rotation with Sam.
With Sam.
Here's Sam, coming at you live.
So how's college?
that's a little too live, man. A little too live.
You're studying pre-law, right?
Thanks, Uncle Claw.
Agrees Lexi, and then takes a sip of her beer.
It's not so bad. I aced my poli-sci final.
Harry smiles at Luke across Lexi.
Your sis is going to be a big, bad lawyer,
he says with a grin. Luke forces himself to smile back. What up?
And a terrifying voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your sis is going to be a big, bad lawyer.
Is it right, he asks himself, not for the first time, to ask Lexi to give that up?
No. It's not undeniably no.
Self per se. Luke knows
100 people and they said no.
Luke knows she would kill at it. He imagines her in court dressed in a tight suit, skirt
no,
suit.
No, just skirt
making,
suit.
Making
skirt, short, oral skirt,
arguments suit. Before an intent jury.
Wait a minute. You're already overly conservative about your relationship with your sister. You're being greedy as it is. Now you want to imagine her in a courtroom with other people?
I love women of man. Power.
Is it fair to take that future away from her?
No.
No.
He's not. He tells himself. He's simply giving her a choice.
Not really.
No, you're not.
Wow.
Letting her choose for herself.
You gave her a Christmas present that was a fucking plane ticket. That's doing your absolute best to manipulate her. Dumbass.
Wow.
He even almost convinces himself.
He's the worst brother.
But not quite.
He's the worst brother, but he's not a little brother. I can make it on my own.
Oh, hey, old brother.
You gotta be the champ.
You got such brother. A strong Folgers aroma.
Oh, God.
Don't cry for me.
Oh, yeah. Harry.
I saw you broke up with that Coilette girl.
Harry says, as
Coilette
if.
Girl?
Yes,
Coilette.
Coilette was
Coilette.
Coilette was Bender's name in the episode where he became a female robot Olympian, and she's so from Rabonia, so a country she didn't make up.
Hail, hail, Rabonia, a land I didn't make up.
Harry says, as if intuiting that a change of subject is in order.
Toot!
You said toot.
Shame. From those pictures you posted, she was a hottie.
With a body.
Luke takes another swallow of beer. Yeah, she was, he says, because he can't very well deny it. Coilette may not have been Lexi, but it wasn't as if she had been at all lacking in the looks department.
She looks quite similar to Lexi, in fact.
Actually, if Luke was being honest, Coilette was pretty much the perfect girlfriend. Hot, smart, hot, caring, and terrific in bed. After all, it wasn't her fault she wasn't Lexi.
Okay, that's obsession right there.
Lexi takes another swig from her beer, then pulls a deck of cards from her jeans pocket.
Sound wise, she says, anyone up for a game of poker?
No.
Strip poker.
Yeah.
Them relocate from the living room couch to the kitchen table, and Lexi deals out their hands. Luke wins the first hand with a pair of kings, then Harry wins the next two hands. The next hand, Luke draws a full house and gets into a bidding war with Lexi, who goes all in. Unfortunately for her, turns out she only has a king high straight.
Lend me a 20 so I can keep playing.
She's Let's about to make Luke's king high straight.
No!
Too hot for TV. That's why we're on the internet.
I'll pay you back!
She says this last sentence totally casually, but under the table, her hand moves to press against the crotch of his jeans. His dick immediately stirs under her touch.
Oh, a dick stirring is not something I want to imagine.
I'm sure, he says, unable to quite match her level of naturalness, and hands her two tens from the pile of bills in front of him. Lexi goes on to win the next four hands straight. At the end, she's won over $100 for herself. Not a bad take for what was supposed to be just a friendly game.
Certainly fucking not.
Yeah, $150 is not...
That's not friendly. That's vulture right there. After Harry leaves, Lexi picks up the deck, starts to shuffle.
Hey, Kermie, want to play strip poker this time?
Oh, yeah, God. Called it.
Luke glances at the clock.
There's another bingo card.
I'd love to, Miss Piggy, but it's almost time for Mom to get home from work.
Shouldn't it be Nathan Fillion?
It'd be a little hard to explain.
No, in my universe, they're still together.
It'd be a little hard to explain to her what their kids are doing, playing cards half naked at the kitchen table.
Lexi accepts this, but keeps on shuffling.
Rummy then?
I really do feel bad for... Jim Henson is rolling in his grave at this point.
Sure.
He says, then takes the deck from her and starts to deal. She gets up and gets another Yingling from the fridge. They play for a couple of minutes in silence, passing the beer back and forth between them.
Yeah. So what's the real reason you and Colette broke up?
She asks suddenly as she puts down three deuces in front of her, then then discards a red ace. Luke picks up the ace, uses it to put down a queen, king, ace straight.
Mostly the reason I gave Gwen on Christmas is the truth,
he says, discarding a black 10.
But...
See, if this is a real bad fanfic, the author would have explained the complete rules to Rummy earlier.
Chosen one!
I'm coming!
Lexi picks up a card from the deck.
Yes?
I think maybe on some level, deep down, Colette realized that every time I made love to her, I was thinking of another woman. Lexi makes a show of glaring at him over her cards.
That other woman had better have been me.
She's getting fierce.
She's kind of, what's the word for that? Like, really, really presumptuous.
Yep. Oh. She says, but there's a playfulness in her eyes that tells him she knows very well that woman was bacon. I mean,
her. Oh, it's playful, so it's okay. Should they maybe? I want one of them to finally just after a bit go, hey, should we maybe like talk for more than 2 seconds without having sex about what the fuck's going on?
No,
nah.
Of course it was you. He tells her. Who else is there? Lexi nods, doesn't say anything else as she studies her cards. They play on for several more minutes, not talking except for Lexi's cry of
Rummy!
When Luke's absentmindedly discards a deuce, until Lexi once again breaks the silence.
No.
I've been shit.
I've been shit, yes.
Fuck you too.
We have been shit, all of us.
I've been shit. Thinking about what you asked me on Saturday, you know?
We're gonna get closure?
Yeah.
It's oddly quick for a fanfic.
Luke asks, endeavoring to keep his voice neutral. We're only about halfway done.
Yeah!
Lexi confirms.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe you could just leave your life here and move to Africa.
I have pre-orders at GameStop. You can't commit me. You can't walk away from it.
But I'm not you. I have school. My friends, mom and dad, Amazon Prime. Yeah. Even Uncle
Steam.
Pete. And Aunt Mary and Gwen and Blackbuster Video. I love you, Luke.
Oh my god, Blackbuster Video. I love Blackbuster Video.
but that's a lot to walk away from, especially when you can rent those videos.
God damn it.
I know, Luke admits, trying not to let disappointment color his voice, but I had to ask.
I'm disappointed right now.
I'm feeling disappointed right now. I'm gonna go move to Africa. Passing it off to you, Logan.
Yeah, he's just gonna like mope about it and go back to Africa for another 5 years because she says no.
We can do this. Come on.
I get that, Lexi says, her voice warm and understanding. Can you hear how warm and understanding my voice that. Is? And I'm not saying no, not yet. Just... I don't know what I'm saying. She places her hands down on the table, then gets up and walks around the table, slips down onto his lap, and kisses him. Mom, he begins, but she cuts. Have you ever been, like, kissing your girlfriend and you just say, Mom?
No.
No, I haven't accidentally called someone Mom since, like, teachers and when I was in primary school.
Mom, he begins, but she cuts him off with another kiss. We can hear her coming in from here just fine, she points out, and kisses him once again.
It's a setup, come on.
They must make out for 10 minutes or so, or they'll die!
If you make out for real, if you make out in the game, you make out in real life.
Or so, until they do hear the sounds of the key in the door, front door, and Lexi gracefully slips off his lap.
And gets the concussion on the table.
Quick, hide your boner.
There you are. Mom says as she enters the kitchen from the living room, did you two have fun today? Yeah, agrees Lexi. Luke's friend Harry came over and we played poker. She skinned Harry and me blind. Luke elaborates teasingly. I'm going to have to hitchhike back to Africa now. Mom laughs, then opens the fridge and peers inside. Pasta okay for dinner tonight? She asks. Luke bites back a frustrated sigh. Pasta. He knows that the reason his mom only works part-time as a paralegal at his dad's firm is because she enjoys cooking and taking care of the house. Yeah, she just dreams of being a stay-at-home mom. That isn't really even all that hard for him to understand either. After all, he quite enjoys cooking himself and frequently has his friends and coworkers in West Africa over for dinner parties.
West Africa, where I live.
It's so ridiculously patriarchal that he can't help but judge her for her choices, even as he admits it's hers to make, not his.
Get fucked, Luke.
Yeah, seriously.
Get fucked, John.
Get fucked, John.
Social justice, Luke.
Pasta's great, Mom, he tells her. Even pasta in the Matthews household is a production in itself. He knows she's going to insist on making meatballs and garlic bread and a salad besides. Is there anything I can help you with? He knows even before he asks the question that her answer will be in the negative. Lexi resumes her seat across from him and picks up her hand. She puts down 3 queens and 3 kings, then discards an ace, leaving her hand empty. I win. I don't think that's how poker works.
You're playing rummy, Logan.
Yeah.
I win. She says with a smile.
No, you know what? If someone
chapter
came back
5, Tuesday, December 29th, 2009, chapter text.
If someone came back to a game of cards, I would just discard all my cards and just say, I win.
Roy, it's your turn.
You give me money now. On Tuesday, Luke wakes up. On Tuesday, Luke wakes up even before his parents leave for work. In West Africa.
Born and raised.
He had gotten used to waking up with the sun. Apparently now his body's finally gotten used to the new time zone. He felt how many days? 4 days? Yeah, that's about right. He follows the scent of Folger's coffee downstairs and into the kitchen.
No.
We haven't had any mentions of coffee for like 15 pages now. It's actually kind of
You're right. He follows the scent of coffee.
Coffee.
Downstairs coffee. And into the kitchen. I really hope that wasn't too bad on the mic. I just realized I was facing it.
That was totally fine.
What are your plans for today?
His dad, dressed in suit and tie, asks from across his cup of Folgers, brought to you by Folgers.
I don't know,
he admits. He and Leia have been playing it more or less by ear so far, especially all those times when they had sex with each other.
In the ear.
Ah!
In the ear. Because they wanted to, they didn't want to do anything that was against, the Bible, so they did it in the ear, like the Bible told them to.
You should get out of the house, Dad advises. It's not good to spend all your time inside.
Luke nods, thinking that Dad is right. His first name is Dad. He and Leia should get out of the house. He's trying to convince her to go to West Africa with him. And what has he done? Stayed in all the time. Admittedly, the sex was fantastic, but he knows he has more to offer her than that. Like sex outdoors.
Starring Bear Grylls.
Sex outdoors while waking up with the sun. Probably under a waterfall somewhere as well.
Yeah, where you have to drink your own pee.
Once Mom and Dad have both left, he lets himself into Leia's room, sits down on the edge of her bed, and gently shakes her awake. And by gently, it means he starts vigorously shaking her back and forth, going, "Wake up! Wake up!
Where's the trigger?"
What was that? Gently shakes her awake. She groggily blinks awake, looks at him, says, "Fuck off," goes back to sleep because it's 5 a.m., and smiles. "Good morning," she says. "Can I join the in here?"
No, 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 no.
Oh my God, Luke, you're so funny. It's tempting.
Annihilation.
It's tempting, but he wants to stick to his newfound determination to wine and dine Leia.
Get dressed, he tells her. "Put on something nice. I'm taking you out. Into this town where everybody knows us by face to go on dates."
Yeah.
I really thought this one through, didn't I, Leia? Ha, ha, ha.
You sure?
You want to wear my letter jacket?
Leia studies him for a moment, then gets an A on the test, then nods. Okay, she agrees, but I get to decide where. We're going to Beverly Hills.
Dirty porno theater. I'm going to jack off your wiener.
Just do it in the fucking pasta at this point.
Ew, no. It's already Alfredo in there. We don't want to make it worse.
Since Luke I have to make Alfredo sauce, but I don't have any kinds of thickener. Luke!
I don't want to jerk off into pasta!
And a game.
Since Luke hasn't figured out yet where he's going to take Lexi, that trade actually works out in his favor. Man, I was gonna try and actually do something nice for her, but then she decided to do all the work.
Dale!
Leia seems to consider for a moment, then comes to a silent decision. So she doesn't say anything to him. Oh, wait. "Go change to something nice," she tells him, echoing his earlier request. "But not too nice. You're going to want to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. God, why can't you just dress perfectly? Here, I'll just come in and dress you." That sounds vaguely ominous, but he's agreed to do whatever she's chosen, so he does not question it whatsoever. He returns to his room, puts on a pair of khakis and a polo shirt, then decides to put on something that's better for winter weather, then heads downstairs to wait for Lexi as she gets ready, bringing his copy of Tale of the Bluebird down with him. He sits down on the couch, opens the book to the page he had dog-eared to save his place. "Don't do that, you'll ruin the book. Get a fucking bookmark." And starts reading, quickly getting caught up again in the exploits of Kao and Constable Garba. We now will spend the next 20 pages reading about the exploits of Kao and Constable Garba.
Yeah.
He'll leave the book with Leia if she doesn't go back to Africa with him. Sorry, if she doesn't go back to West Africa with him, he decides. The blend of magical realism and mystery fiction is really right up her alley. Why doesn't he just recommend she get the book? Wouldn't he still be reading it?
David,
page 21.
Take us home.
Don't wanna close my eyes. I don't wanna read ahead, cause I hate this fic, and I don't wanna miss a thing.
But if you want your brother's cock,
I liked mine better, Steve.
I like you, Dave.
Aw, less than three. Aww. He becomes so engrossed in the book that when he suddenly realizes Lexi is standing in front of him, dressed in a V-neck sweater and a corduroy skirt over white tights. He's not sure how long she's been there. Ready to go? Wait, ready to go? Ready to go? He asks, putting down the book.
Yep.
Okay.
Says Lexi with an ominously pleased smile that and leads the way out of the house to the driveway, grabbing a winter jacket out of the hall closet on her way out.
Lexi, who was deathly sick and had made her wish from Make-A-Wish Foundation to have sex with her brother.
And then Luke grabs his as well.
Oh God, that's so hot. They grab their jackets.
Oh my God, coats. It's that's why it's hot, because they're warm. Oh. Luke waits for Lexi to unlock the doors, then gets into the passenger seat of Lexi's yellow 96 Jetta. Ugh.
Which is in no way what I thought to have.
The car had been a 16th birthday present from her parents. The last 5 years had not been kind to it as they have been to Lexi herself, Luke notes.
That's Lexi's fault then. She should have taken better care of the car.
Yeah.
I've had my car for 5 years. It's fine.
Had my car not been wrecked earlier this year, I would still be taking care of it. Past 5 years, not kind. Still, it starts up without a problem, and within minutes, Lexi stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts for them to grab a quick
romantic.
This once page brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Once they're back in the car, Lexi pulls onto the interstate, like, from the parking lot. It's dangerous.
Immediately. Most convenient parking lot in the entire town of Incestville.
Luke still doesn't know what their destination is.
It's actually a mobile Dunkin' Donuts. It's driving down the interstate, so you just have to drive up by it.
If I go with you to Africa, am I gonna learn French? Lexi asks. Luke's heart leaps with the knowledge that she's actively considering his offer. Well, no, he says. Although it would help, it's a lot easier to learn by immersion than from Mimi Binkowski, though. Mimi Binkowski was the French teacher
what?
At...
What? Oh.
Binkowski!
Immaculate Conception High, the Catholic high school both Luke and Lexi attended.
Are about you fucking kidding me about that name?
No,
Immaculate Conception High?
Yeah, man.
Conveniently enough, that's probably the excuse that they're going to use when they come back home a few years later and somebody's knocked up.
It's us.
Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going to take Lexi to Africa with me. Hey, Mom and Dad, we're back. Lexi got pregnant and had a kid with someone else who's not here with us.
Oh.
What's for dinner?
Looks a lot like me. Yeah. Seems kind of stupid. Smells like maple syrup. After about 5 minutes later, Lexi pulls to the parking lot of Great Skate, the closest ice skating rink to their house. Luke suddenly notices the pair of broken in ice skates in Lexi's size sitting on the back seat of her car. Had she put them there while he'd been engrossed in his book? Question mark. Luke pays for their admission to the rink and then goes to rent a pair of skates for himself.
It's been a while since I've done this now.
Oh, they're both sickly now.
Yay, sickness.
Oh, fuck. I thought it was Lexi.
Get up.
Shit.
Come on, you're down contagious. With the incest.
She gave it to him.
It's been a while since I've done this, you know.
And I'm quite drunk on scotch.
Yes, I'm scotch. It's delicious.
You used to play ice hockey.
Lexi points out.
Yeah, in high school, says Luke. That was almost a decade ago now.
Tune in Thursdays on CBS for The Dying Rat and Sean Connery.
I prefer it to be Colonel Gentleman. Normal. Yeah, it sounds like Colonel Gentleman from The Venture Brothers.
Don't worry,
says Lexi.
He's like riding a bike.
It's a little bit more difficult than that, but Luke manages to find his balance again on the skates, and soon the two of them are making laps around the rink hand in hand. He'd forgotten just how much he had loved the sensation of gliding gracefully across the ice.
Subtle!
Whether it's chasing after a puck or just a leisurely... Wait, no, like, this needs to be one of those Danger 5 commercials at the end of it. Whether it's chasing after a puck, just usually making way around the rink.
I approve.
The sense that he's eluded the normal restrictions of movement is a powerful high.
Folgers.
Pre-lit matches. Anyway, we're done. This goes on too quick.
It's okay. Anyways, with 4 minutes remaining, I want to thank everybody in the chat. Disambiguity, Epidel, hey, Roy 42, Sean, Temsu, and Wolfboy 1988, and our guests Roy and Sam. Thank you, guys.
Woo. Thanks for having me on.
And with that...
Oh, you said our guests. I thought you said, I guess, Roy and Sam.
I guess. Well, I guess. I guess we'll thank you. Anyways, we'll catch you all on next Wednesday when we continue reading this.
Sweet liquor eases the pain.
The best part of waking up.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.